भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। We are reading from the 10th canto, chapter 69, entitled Narada Visits Krishna's Palaces, and we shall be discussing text 31 of chapter 69, text 31, which doesn't have a purport, and 32. Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Kutrapi Saha Ramena Chintayantam Satam Shivam Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Kutrapi Saharamena Kutrapi Saharamena Chintayantam Satam Shivam Chintayantam Satam Shivam Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Kutrapi Saharamena Chintayantam Satam Shivam Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Kutrapi Saharamena Chintayantam Satam Shivam Kutrantam Vigraham Kaishchit Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam Kutrapi Saharamena Chintayantam Satam Shivam Mataji's. Kurvantam Vigraham Kaishchit Sandhim Chanyatra Keshavam
कुत्रापि सहरामेण चिन्तयन्तं सतां शिवं कुर्वन्तं
मेकिंग
विग्रहं
वॉर
कश्चित्
विथ सर्टन पर्सन्स
संधिं
रिकन्सिलिएशन
च
एंड
अन्यत्र
एल्सवेयर
केशवम्
लॉर्ड कृष्ण
कुत्र अपि
समवेयर
सह
टुगेदर
रामेण
विद लॉर्ड बलराम
चिंतयन्तम्
थिंकिंग
सताम
ऑफ द सेंटली
शिवम
द वेलफेयर.
Translation.
In one place he was planning battles in consultation with some of his advisors. In another place he was making peace. Somewhere Lord Keshava and Lord Balaram were together pondering the welfare of the pious.
Text 32.
Putranam dohitranam cha kale vidyopapaya upayapanam darervareshchatat sadrishai kalpayantam vibhutibhi. Translation. And purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shuddha Prabhupada. Translation. Narada saw Lord Krishna engaged in getting his sons and daughters married to suitable brides and bridegrooms at the appropriate time. And the marriage ceremonies were being performed with great pomp. Purport. This translation is based on Srila Prabhupada's Krishna. The word Kale here means that Krishna arranged for his sons and daughters to be married when each of them reach the proper age.
Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Juta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं तदाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमाओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे.
Seeking the blessings of all the senior devotees present here, I would like to discuss these two verses today. So this 69th chapter tells us about how once Narad Muni visited Dwarka. In the early years of the Hare Krishna movement, Srila Prabhupada explained to his new disciples that Narad Muni can go anywhere, Narad Muni is very powerful, Narad Muni is very empowered, he constantly preaches. Just see some of the disciples he has made, right from Rishi Valmiki, who wrote the Ramayana, to Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, King Prachin Barishat, his sons. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we have Mrigari. Mrigari is a uncivilized forest dweller. There is no question of education or culture. He may not be in heaven having a home, just a hunter-gatherer, as sociologists may term him today. And Narad Muni preaches to him. Narad Muni can go into Kamsa's palace, and Kamsa also welcomes him. He doesn't say that you belong to the opposite party and you are a devotee, you are partial to devotees. Kamsa actually respects him. So there was a poem by Hayagriva Prabhu in one of the early magazines of early editions of Back to Godhead magazine. Narad Muni, the transcendental spaceman, because he is seen traveling everywhere. In India, unfortunately, Narad Muni is associated with somebody who incites quarrels. Someone who is like every village has a village gossip. Unfortunately, it is a woman, but men are also equally competent. You can see the WhatsApp, Facebook messages today that gossip is not restricted to the female gender. But generally in old stories we have the village gossip is always the some woman, especially of having occupations like fishmongering or selling vegetables or that kind of thing. Confusing Narad Muni's role is due to not being properly trained by the acharyas. I remember in my school days there was a TV serial on Narad Muni, and some of you who are in your 50s may remember, and it had nothing to do with his preaching, nothing to do with his qualities. It's just a gross trivialization of his personality. Someone who just wants some fun. But we hear from Thakur Bhakti Vinod, Narada Muni Bajaye Bina Radhika Ramana Name. He's always playing his Veena and is always chanting the names of Radha Krishna. Radhika Ramana Name. In his position, he is the son of Brahma. He is a disciple of Brahma. You, me, all of us who preach, who read these books given by Prabhupada, Prabhupada never claimed these books are my store of wisdom, this is my knowledge. Who gave him this knowledge? One reporter asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, who taught you this kind of knowledge? I mean, how can you write so much? So Prabhupada had to explain, what is the meaning of parampara? The Sanskrit meaning is simple. One after another. Parampara. A simple thing, but mind you, in India, people are not so trained to detect a lineage, a particular system, where emphasis is given on your guru also has to have a guru, and his guru also has to have a guru, right up to Lord Krishna. I have seen at least two or three big personalities, massive followers, and they publicly say that I am not your guru. And people say, oh, that's their humility. He is saying I am not your guru. Where did you get your knowledge from? Well, I learned from somebody here or somebody there, or it's mostly my own. And actually it's a fashion in the impersonalistic school that he was my guru. Somebody, a big name, was my guru for some time. And now what has happened? Oh, now I am equal to knowledge with him. So, Prabhupada once compared, the guru is standing on a ladder and then he guides you. Okay, come like this. Now catch this. Take your first step. Slowly, slowly, slowly the guru guides you up to the level. And when you reach the same rung of the ladder, then you look at your guru and say, now you and me are one. I'm equal. My knowledge is equal to your knowledge. Big problem with this logic. Even in common parlance, like in the household where I grew up, it was always, remember to show gratitude. Somehow, from the early years, this was always, be grateful, be grateful. So when you do something like that, become equal to your guru and then tell him on his face that I don't need you anymore, where is the question of gratitude? Another fallacy, another hole in the logic Prabhupada exposed once by saying, a guru gives his disciple anugraha, it maybe touches his head or whatever, and the disciple gets the electric shock like thing, and the disciple is jumping up and down with joy. I have knowledge now. Because the guru has given him something, they call it Shakti Path or something like that. And to the amazement of the disciple, the guru is like holding his head in his arms, saying that the disciple is saying, what happened? You made me so happy by giving this knowledge. I gave you everything, the guru says. I am bereft. I am lost. I am zero now. So Prabhupada said, is transcendental knowledge like some bank balance which a father gives to his sons and then starts lamenting? Maybe that's why in Kali Yuga people don't give so much money to their sons. They always keep something. Who knows, tomorrow this fellow might lose his head and then not respect me. So in Kali Yuga, respect is given according to how much I can get from someone. But that's not the proper process. So Prabhupada countered when he heard someone. It's a famous story. It's known all over India. He said, Krishna is an inexhaustible source of knowledge. And Guru, he is on the level of Krishna as far as knowledge is concerned from the disciple's point of view. Guru never claims I have all knowledge. Why should he? He is not a cheat. But as far as the disciple's needs are concerned, the Guru can give him all that is required. In the Bhagavatam it is described, Anaprishtam api bruyur guravo dinavatsala. Very important. Even though when not asked, the Guru gives all that is knowledge. How many of you knew what exactly to ask from a spiritual master? We never knew what a spiritual master is. We were all taught, go to a Guru and say, Swami, Ashirwad dijiye. And he says, Ashirwad. Somebody says, what did you ask? No, you're not supposed to ask anything. And if somebody asks the Guru, what did you give? He said, I'm not supposed to give anything. You give a blank check and the bank gives you an empty bag. That's the transaction here. You don't ask for anything because you don't know. And this person can't give anything because he doesn't have anything. So this is not the Guru Parampara which Narad Muni comes in from. In fact, we, members of the Brahma Madhava Gaudiya Sampradaya, Brahma means Lord Brahma's Sampradaya, and he gives knowledge to Narad Muni. So Narad Muni continues his, it's a joyful thing for him to go and preach. He gets cursed sometimes, as happened in the sixth canto, when Daksha Prajapati cursed him. He doesn't mind anything in the service of Krishna. So it is said, once Narad Muni had his desire to see what Krishna is doing, and Narad Muni was surprised. How come Narakasur kidnapped 16,100 young virgin girls, all of marriageable age, and he had clear intention as to what to do with them. He wanted to exploit them. Narakasur happens to be Krishna's own son. Of course, even we all are Krishna's sons, provided we agree. We don't, and that's why we have all these problems. The father is eager to acknowledge the existence of the son, but the son is not so eager. That's why we are in illusion. I had this lingering doubt as to everything is solid, whatever I see around me. Where is the illusion in this world? I straight away walked towards a wall and bam, I hit my forehead. We have these poles here supporting our canopy for the monsoon. I badly hit my toe yesterday at one particular pillar. Be careful, near the security desk. It's a very nasty, it's an upturned kind of a corner. Still hurts. So, my hitting is illusion, or that pole is illusion, or this hurt all night. Now morning also it is slightly subsided, but what is illusion? And in one particular conversation or lecture, Prabhupada says, hey, there is nothing illusory in this world. It is temporary, so it doesn't remain for long. And you think this is for my happiness is the illusion. Now it's a sentence which is simple, but once it goes inside, it causes a big volcanic eruption of so many other threads. So there is nothing illusory. The money is not illusory here. Fame is not illusory. In a sense, it's there. It's temporary. It doesn't stay for long. But the illusion is, this is meant for my happiness or my enjoyment. That is the illusion. The truth is, it is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. One student objected that, but Krishna doesn't seem to enjoy this. Krishna, when he comes here, he doesn't get anything from this material world. So I am not supposed to enjoy. Krishna doesn't want to enjoy. Hey, how can I just see this whole thing getting spoiled? Might as well I just get used to it. No, that's a big problem. I know it's a funny example, but at least it hit me. This Rajiv Gandhi Sea Link was not yet inaugurated. So I went there. I mean, we were coming from some place, and I asked the fellow over there, is it open? No, I could see the whole thing is open, and there is no car going on. So, looking at my dress or my silly question, the government person appointed there said, it's for you, but not yet. So I said, what do you mean by that? So he said, Sonia ji aayegi. Sonia Gandhi will come, she will inaugurate, and then you can go freely. I didn't ask, but if I would have asked him, what if I just sneak in right now? Nobody tells her, she doesn't know, she's in Delhi, the inauguration is tomorrow. No. Before she comes, this sea link doesn't come into existence. It's not there for anybody's use. You get the point? It's there in front of you, but you can't use it. Why? Because it's not official yet. And I thought, hey, that's what we do with paraphernalia here. We cook nice items, but if you see in the kitchen, so many items are cooked, almost throughout the day, something or other is prepared for Krishna. But if anybody from outside comes and says, can I have a peck, can I just have some taste? No. It's not yet offered to Krishna. But when the offering ceremony is over, we eagerly call people and say, take Mahaprasad. Take. So whatever is offered to Krishna doesn't go in waste. This is the protocol. This is how civilized societies behave. So, the illusion is my sense of proprietorship, my sense of ownership. I think this is mine, therefore I should enjoy. That is the only illusion. If you agree, initially the scriptures say, just agree that things belong to Krishna. At least in my life so far, I am grudgingly agreeing. And a body which is crumbling day by day, I am offering to Krishna. This is yours. I can't handle it. This pain is too much. Please let this medicine work. So, things which are not fit for me, I am gladly offering. Things which are still fit for my enjoyment, I am grudgingly acknowledging that maybe Krishna has something to do with that. Anyway, as Gurudas Prabhu wrote in his book, we are all work in progress. Devotional life means we are all work in progress. Like you go to some bridge, it says work in progress. Right? So, I like that. Never that we have accomplished something. So, Narad Muni had a desire. Now, I am again and again stressing on this. It's not a simple thing that Narad Muni gets fascinated. Narad Muni showing some kind of astonishment, showing some kind of surprise, is a big surprise. How many of us can expand ourselves? Anyone here who has habitually expanded themselves? Like one self goes to the temple for Bhagavatam class and the other goes for the gym which is so required. Somehow exercise time and Bhagavat time, they collide. Or you want to read something, or you want to do some business, or do anything. No. We are so limited. It just has to be 1, 2, 3, 4. You say, okay, I have to choose 3, or I have to choose 2. You can't be doing many things at a time. Those who are in sales and marketing, imagine if you had the ability to expand 5 or 6 times. Then you can say to your boss, I can go all 4 cities tomorrow. So at the same time, oneself is bargaining with somebody in Chennai, one is bargaining in Kolkata, and somebody doing something else. No, we can't. But doesn't mean that nobody can. Some can. Kapila Muni, of course, is described as an avatar. But Kapila Muni became nine forms. When there was a need, Lord Kapila became nine. There is a direct description in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Saubhari Muni could take 50 forms. Saubhari Muni was a muni doing his tap, austerity, penance, underwater. You may say, why underwater? There is no land above available, caves not available. So some people, they are so finicky and they are so precise in their requirements. They say, no, if you are above, if you are on land, there is so much of distraction. Because everybody walks on land. Human beings can't stay below water. So this muni said, first of all, I'll get the qualification to go underwater, which is not easy. You and me can stay for 10 seconds, 15 seconds max. He developed the siddhi to stay underwater for as much as he wanted. And what did he do? He performed his meditation there. Now this is, when we say tough austerities, this is really tough. But there was a small hitch somewhere. One day he saw two fish just going along. Now the fish all look the same. I can't understand who's male, who's female. But because they were together, it was assumed that they are of that particular relationship. And the muni came out. He had one desire. I never had a family. Now imagine, after so many years under the water, and you just see fish are not so glamorous. They are not having yachts and cars and perfumes and music and dance and all the paraphernalia required for conjugal attraction. They were just moving around. But he came out. He came to the king. He told the king saw him. Like imagine, if you, rainy season, if you are all wet, see how your palms feel. Like so much time under water, or those ladies who do household work, especially washing clothes after some time, you are all shriveled like. Now this is only after working for 1 hour or hour and a half with water. He was living underwater for many, many years. Hair, body shriveled, smelling like something is kept underwater for so long. And he tells the king, I would like to marry your daughters. The king senses problem. That if I say no, sharp, immediately a curse would come. So he says, think, what can be done? So he says, all right, Maharaj, I have 50 daughters. If any of them accept you, I'll gladly marry them to you. Now, while the king is telling like this, Saubhari Muni is saying, I understand what you are thinking. You are thinking that since I am so decrepit, old, shriveled, look, none of your daughters will accept me, and thus you will go scot-free. So you will not be negating my request. At the same time, you will be keeping whatever you have. He says, all right, let them come. And then the 50 daughters are called out. And the king doesn't know what exactly happened, what special effects took place. All 50 say, we would like to marry him. And the king says, what did he do? So what he had done was, using his tapobal, with tapasya you get some currency, some points, which you can encash on the counter for material looks, intelligence, material resources, whatever. Like you fly a certain airline, you get bonus flying points. So you do certain tapasya, it's all there in your account. Like all these tapasvis, all these babas, gurus, when they show something, why is that? Because the moment you get a siddhi, the urge is to show it to somebody. And the moment you start showing, the show begins, tick, 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 somewhere the clock is there in the background. Up to a certain time, that siddhi is there. When the whole thing runs out, psh, blank. So, 50 daughters are married with pomp and luxury, and the king also desires to know. A father, naturally the heart of a father is so much attached to the daughter, especially when she's married and she's been gone to her in-law's place. Here there are no in-laws, it is just the son-in-law, and he's a big tapasvi, he doesn't need to work for a minute, and he builds palaces for them, just like that. 50 palaces. What's the big deal? He has tons of credit. And the king actually decides, see, I should know whether my daughters are happy or not. So he just visits one palace, and the daughter there is like, oh, daddy, you have come, and they meet, and she's like saying, oh, he's so caring, he's so gentle, he's so loving, nobody can expect a better son-in-law. And the father is like, oh, he's showering so much love. That means others might not be getting that. Others could be bereft. She's saying, actually, I feel my husband stays with me, and I sometimes feel sorry for my sisters. Yeah. If he's spending he's showering so much love on me, how less he must be giving to my sister. Now the sisters have become co-wives. Sapatna. Sapatna basically means enemies, by the way. Because, yeah, Arjuna talks about Sapatnam Rajyam Suranam Apichadipatyam. Sapatna means those who are competitors, the opposite party. So the king decides to go to others. They all say the same story. Your son-in-law is so loving, and we are just wondering whether what happened to others. Anyway, after some time, Sabari Muni gets bored by this whole game. He tells his wives, I'm sorry, I messed it up, I was doing something else. And some virus came in my software, and now I'm becoming householder now. I'm sorry, 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 sorry. Let me give you some transcendental knowledge. They are happy, they take the knowledge. And they all decide to leave this whole illusion, palace, everything, and decide to go to the forest and do tapasya. Thus ends the episode of somebody who is not Krishna trying to expand and then getting completely bored by that. Will something like that happen to Krishna? No. So Narad Muni, he must be knowing these kind of munis and babas and rishis. You know how many planets he goes to? He can go anywhere he wants. But this is one thing, that how come Krishna married 16,100? See, whatever Krishna does, he does on a grand scale. If Krishna would have married 16, you and me would not be discussing that here today. 160, there are some nawabs and sultans and nizams and their ilk in Indian history. Others could be there, but in Indian history they had these kind of personalities who had 150 or 200 or 250 begums. And then the issue was, he doesn't know how many he has. There is no roster kept. Many times the maintenance itself would be such a problem, and affairs these begums would be having with their caretakers was a very commonplace affair. How much the poor Nawab can attend to? He has to, every time he likes somebody, he marries her, and then he has to conquer new territory for maintenance. So 160 is still history. Human history shows some people had those kind of concubines or consorts or whatever. 1,600, not in recorded human history at least. 16,100 really takes the cake. Nowhere. It borders on insanity. It borders on, like, people read this and they say, this is philosophy? I mean, you expect us to believe? There was an old discussion in a BTG magazine about a college preacher in the West and one student belonging to a particular way of thinking. He said, I can't accept him as God because he's so lascivious, he's so promiscuous. Why can't he control his lust? Which is a valid argument. So the student preacher said, so you can't accept him as God because he married 16,108 queens? He says, precisely. So he said, our argument is, he's God because he actually married 16,108. That's what superlative tasks or superlative activities mean. And he added, his potency would not be fully established, exposed, exhibited, if he would have married 16 million or 16 billion or even unlimited number of wives. Still, that would not be the full extent of Krishna's potency. Now, this is beyond belief, right? It's, you may say, it hurts. The more you think, it hurts. That's what is meant to be. You're not supposed to think. You're supposed to listen. Somebody else has done the thinking. The Guru Parampara has done the thinking. We'll come to that later. So Narad Muni, this is the first point which really has to be understood, and a very important point. Why Narad Muni was surprised? He's not somebody who would be ordinarily surprised. Just like you see some very famous person doing something, you may say, why is he doing that? How many sweepers are there in India? You may say, millions. But when the Prime Minister starts a Swachha Abhiyan and has a jhadu, a broom in his arms, in his hands, and doing the work, so many people click photos. Why? Because it's unnatural. Such a big person, why should he be doing that? So, the first clue is from a very beautiful verse by Queen Kunti, 1st Canto 8th chapter. Na veda kaschit bhagavans chikirshitam taveha manasya nirnam vidambanam na yasya kaschit daitosti karhichid dveshyascha yasmin vishma matir nirnam. Queen Kunti says, and this should be our, how do you put it, our anchor. Like a boat may go anywhere. Water may sway the boat up and down. Waves may lash it here and there. But when the boat is firmly anchored, it cannot be let loose. So the mind, conditioned intellect, when it tries to understand Krishna's pastimes, Queen Kunti comes to her rescue. And she gives us this word, which has 2-3 times it has been repeated. Bewildering pastimes. She uses the word vidambanam. She says, no one can understand your pastimes. Your pastimes look like human. They are misleading. You don't favor anybody. You don't envy anybody. But people imagine that you are partial. How many times we have heard people saying, why God did this to me? What harm did I do to anyone that God did this to me? Now God doing this to you means you actually accuse him of being partial. Your insurance company says we can insure you against blah 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 1, 2, 3, 4, but not against acts of God. In my colleges I asked somebody, what do you mean by acts of God? So, well, flood, famines, forest fires, earthquakes. How conveniently human beings have called them acts of God. You may say, obviously, no human being can injure an earthquake. No human being can cause a flood. No one can cause a famine. So God. It's like we try to find the culprit among human society. We don't find anybody. We say, it must be God. But when something good happens in this material world, still we don't find any good in any candidate in human society. Say, by chance, it must have happened by chance. So for anything good, of course, nothing gets that escape route if it is good. Success has so many fathers. Failure is an orphan. That's the law in this material world. So anything wrong, anything failed, and it's an act of God. But Krishna's pastimes are really bewildering. So what do you mean? Somebody may say, what do you mean bewildering? That means we should shut up our thinking? No. You don't need to stop thinking. This whole thing, Krishna consciousness, we think because we are conscious. Those who are sitting on the bench after the class, when you get up, you thank the bench or the chair, thank you for being such nice support, no reaction. And if you kick it, no reaction again, because it's an inert object. It doesn't think. But if somebody gives you a glass of water, when you ask, you say, thank you. Why? Because that person is sentient, has senses. So we are all sentient beings. We have senses because Krishna has senses. But now whether Krishna's pastimes are human-like or we have, like some people in the, when Indologists have started their work in India, they said this Krishna story is all like an allegory. You have just made somebody very beautiful, nice lotus eyes and soft skin, complexion, flute playing ability and called him God. There is nobody in reality, anyone, there is no existing person can have so many attributes. You give somebody some attribute and then you worship. It's a very fundamental kind of a logic. Accusation. So, I'm taking this cue from Jaiva Dharma, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's very, very beautiful book. It's like a magnum opus, big work, novel style. That's what I appreciate about that book. It doesn't come across as a philosophical kind of thing. It has characters, it has events, it has people asking questions, so many things happening. Vrajanath is one of the characters there. So Vrajanath asks Babaji, there's a Babaji there in this book. Vrajanath asks him that Krishna is Madhyam Akar. Shishirada Kupina. Krishna is described as having Madhyam Akar. Right? Our Radha Gopinath. They're not like huge, right? We may say Krishna is bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, Anor Aniyan, Mahato Mahiyan. But actually the Nara Leela, Gaur Govind Maharaj uses the word Nara Tanu. Nara, human. Tanu means the body. Nara Leela, Krishna's human-like pastimes, not human pastimes. God doesn't come in a human form. Krishna says, they are fools who think that I have come as a human being. Avajananti maam mudha, manushim tanum ashritam. If you understand the import of this tanum ashritam, you and me, first of all, we didn't deserve this human body, it has been given to us. And we have taken shelter of the human form and we are expressing our desires through this body. Some of us have a body we like, some of us have a body we don't like. If you are tall, we say, I should have been a little bit short. If you are short, we say, little bit taller would have been good. Oh, I am being a bit obese or I want to cut down my weight. blah, 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 blah. So much we want from this body and the body simply doesn't seem to cooperate. So, tanum ashritam means Krishna went to some agency and said, my time's up, I have to go down, I need a blue complexion, coward boy, flute playing ability, dancing, singing. And somebody gave him that body. Okay, alright, take it. This is a complete fallacy. There is no truth superior to me. What is the meaning of truth? Anything which can abide, anything which can stand on its own feet is the truth. If you say, I have passed my CA exam, I say, I don't believe it. Here is a certificate. So this particular thing stands for the truth that I studied, I gave the exam and I passed it. This house belongs to me. Who says so? This document says so. So, truth means something which can be like a pillar of support. Krishna is saying there is no truth superior to me. Mattah parataram na anyat. I don't go to anyone for fulfilling my desires. Why should I? They can't fulfill. There is nothing before God. So, he doesn't take a human form. This is his eternal form. And who gives Krishna his flute, his gopis, his Vrindavan, his everything? His own potency. It's his own potency. In this world, a rich man may make his own big garden. And one day you may find him working there. You may say, what happened? Can't afford a mali, can't afford somebody to keep. He said, the doctor has told me to work somewhere, so I'm working in my own garden. And first of all, who are you to tell me what I should do? This is my garden. If I want, I can employ 200 people. If I need, I'll work alone. So somebody who can afford 200 people, but still prefers to work in his own garden just for the sweat so that the doctor can be happy, that is his pastime. He's not bound to. Tomorrow if he says, I feel bored today, I have a meeting and then I will not work in the garden. Nobody calls him that. 7 o'clock. You're supposed to work here. If he wants, he can. If he doesn't want, he doesn't want to. Nobody is the authority. But we, you and me, therefore, you and me don't have any pastimes. We have karma bandhan. And what is karma bandhan? Yatha gava nasi damni. Just like a bull has a rope going through his nose and the farmer tugs it in the right direction, the bull has to go towards that. You and me have strong ropes. They don't seem visible, but they are. And they tug us completely. It pains. It pains when you want to go left and the rope says go right. It also pains when you are made to do something. So it's pain, pain, pain all the way. But with Krishna, it is fun, fun, fun all the way. When he wants to play something, his potencies are there with folded hands. What do we do? Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Maharaj, he gave an example. He should like that particular example. He said the ruler of Mysore, the Raja of Mysore, he had many fancy cars and all the chauffeurs would be told that the moment the king comes down, the ruler comes down, all of them have to be ready. So it's not like, are koi hai, are is there any car available, I want to go somewhere. No! Clear cut rule. When he comes down from his palace, all 12 of them or 10 of them have to be ready. Prim, pram, uniform and nicely pressed everything in alert. And what he would do is, then he would see silver, blue, black, no. White, pink, okay. So he may like the pink one today and he may just say, so the pink car comes in front of him. He sits and the driver doesn't say, kahan jaane ka hai? No. He can't say where to or why can't you make up your mind? No. The moment the boss sits in the car, he has to start. So they leave the palace precincts. They come on the main highway. And he just has to go on and on and on. Till he feels a tap on the right shoulder. That means take a right turn. Then he goes right, 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 right. Another tap, one tap, that means stop. So he stops. And then the king sees whatever he wants to see. He wants to see some particular part of Mysore. He says, no way, we'll go back. So he sits in, back. This is, again, this is karma bandhan. Today the ruler is back, the chauffeur is front. Tomorrow, daiva netrena, the material energy can reverse the positions. Similar car, but the one who is now tapping on the shoulder gets tapped on his shoulder. Why? Because this world is like that. Today you are the ruler, tomorrow you could be the chauffeur, tomorrow today you are the chauffeur, you could be the ruler. Ah, Brahma Bhuvana Loka. Right from above till below. Punaravartina. Avartan. Avartan means going round and round and round. It's like a wheel moving, a ferris wheel. What's up now is down now, what's up down tomorrow, down now is up tomorrow. Krishna never has this kind of problems. None of his potencies say, enough. I don't get paid. I'm bored with your service. No. Just imagine the kind of employer Krishna must be. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. The Upanishads, they are very clear in their understanding. You may say, but how can all of them work in harmony? Swabhaviki gana bala kriyacha. Swabhaviki. It's just natural. It just happens. And what do these potencies give him? Gyan, knowledge, bala, resources, kriya, functionality. And not a single point of energy, not a single joule or calorie is lost anywhere. The potencies are happy, happy, happy. Lakshmi sahasrashata sambhrama sevyamanam. We have this notion that ek Lakshmi agar mile, one Devi, I'll be happy. Here there are millions of Lakshmis and they are in line for service. They all don't get opportunity. It's not like just because, I'm so beautiful, so Krishna will select me. There is no dust in the palaces of Vaikuntha, but still some of them just take a broom and start brooming. There is no dust, it's all imagination. But they want to do some service. So imagine Krishna's power, Krishna's place, Krishna's glory. That Krishna married 16,100. Not a big deal at all. So, Brajnath asks Babaji, Maharaj, I have a problem here. He said, what's that? If you think that this Madhyam Akar, when devotees in Krishna Balaram temple had the temple was established, they said, Prabhupada, how much should we cook for Shyam Sundar? Valid question. Many people in the kitchen department are here. How much should we cook? Prabhupada said, as much as a robust 16-year-old would eat. Those of ladies who have 16-year-old sons, when your son is hungry, you're like happy. Wow. Eats a lot and nice. That's what a young body is. Krishna is never on a diet, something less spicy or not too much sweets. No. A young, bubbling with enthusiasm, young person, how much you can eat, cook for him like that. They were very happy. Now they got that standard. Here Brajnath is saying, Maharaj, if you accept God, Like, here is God. This person who is standing is God. First problem, how can he be sarvaga? Sarvagamanam, to go everywhere, all pervasive. If he is in one place, he can't be all pervasive. Babaji Maharaj said, okay. He cannot be omnipresent everywhere. Sarvastha. We say sarvasthit. Stha means to be situated. If he is not sarvaga, if he is not sarvastha, then his body could be subjected to the three modes. And what do you mean by three modes? Three modes mean bondage. If you say, my head is paining, or I have body pain, or I am this, why should I die? Death seems to be a problem. No. You may say, what? Death is not a problem? It is in one way. Old age is a problem. Disease is a problem. But all these three begin because there is birth. Birth is something which we all conveniently have forgotten. If your mom says, oh, you were crying like anything, first 3 months, oh, how much of a tension you gave me. You don't even know whether you would have survived or this or that. And you are saying, I guess, I don't remember. You mean to say it was not a calamity, it was not a problem? Look, if I don't remember, it never occurred. Now this is our problem. Just because you don't remember, it has not happened. So this centric, self-centric view of look at life. Oh, I forgot that problem, so it's no longer there. I didn't see the bill, therefore I didn't pay it. But it's there. In your accounts, it's not there. But from those who you took something, they still look upon you as a debtor. So, birth is the biggest issue. And who gives us birth? Karmana, Daivanitrena, Jantur Deha Upapattaya, Striya Pravisht Udaram Purusho Reta Kanashraya. Daivanitrena, supervising authority, takes you by your jugular, catches you by the neck, pushes you in the semen of a father, which pushes you in the womb of a mother, and out you come with a body given by Maya. And Maya means the three modes. Tribhir gunamair ebhi sarvamidam jagat. Arjun, there is nothing in this world which can escape the three modes. And three modes means bondage. Sattvagun, rajagun, tamagun. All three gunas are attacked by each other. They are like three brothers. You know, they never get along with each other. Sometimes the elder guy wins, sometimes the two gang up on him, sometimes the middle and the elder one, they beat up the youngest one. In fact, the daily life begins like that. Early morning, free dose of sattva guna. But sometimes people, if you get up at 4:30, ha, ungodly hour, you go to rest again. One devotee had written this, and a Western person has asked, what time you get up, you Hare Krishna? So you say 3:30. Why wake up at such an ungodly hour? In fact, people get up at that time, they go to a doctor and say, something wrong with me? I don't seem to be able to get good sleep. So this devotee said, we get up at 3:30 precisely because it is godly. What's so godly about 3:30? One prahara, about 45 minutes or so, before actual sunrise, there is a free dose of sattva guna. Whoever wants to take can take it. But one of our sannyasis said, especially in the West, if you get up in the morning and there is some sattva guna, you take a strong cup of coffee and just chase it away. Successfully. I'm getting too many of those thoughts of jogging or doing some meditation or something. Let me dull it with a strong dose of caffeine. So that is squandered away. And as the day wears on, by mid-noon, that sattva is completely evaporated. Who rules? Rajas. Work, work, work. Deal, deal, deal. Commission. This 5%, 3%, 2%. You see in flights, you see in trains, you see outside. Oh, paisa aega, chinta mat karo, paisa aega. Kab aega? Kabhi dega, kabhi aega. So somebody you are saying, aega, aega, aega. Somebody else you are saying, kab aega? Because he is not paying you, so you can't pay him. And all day long in this Rajas, twilight, 5:45, 6 o'clock, Sattva is already out, extradited, Rajas is weak, Tamas starts its influence. And in Tamas, laziness, indolence, sloth. But you may say, some people actually get activated after 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. That is, Tamas influenced Rajas. When Rajagun comes there, you feel like doing the driving, going. Like here, 2:30 in the morning, we find people with their Porsches and Lamborghinis and other cars. So I asked somebody, why do they drive at 2:30? Well, you see, the car can go from 0 to 95 kilometers in 15 seconds. But where does Bombay afford that kind of opportunity? So you have to have that kind of time of the night where you can see whether the car actually goes like that. But because you don't have any business, you just go from here to there and after some time you go back home. So the modes mean bondage. So Babaji Maharaj is telling him, Brajnath, your thinking is now influenced by the three modes. And the three modes which have influenced the mind can never ever make the mind come to any kind of right conclusion. The modes will not even allow you to inquire about the absolute truth. See, it's like complete failures. Three students are discussing the exam. One got 17%, one got 18%, one got 20%. How can they coach each other? Is it possible? They say coaching outside is expensive. Let us help each other. How will you help? Or 10 bankrupt businessmen start a society, credit cooperative society. How will you help others start a business? We say, we'll try. Others are expensive. The rates are too high for us. So, if you say, I'll take knowledge about the spiritual world from my grandfather, or my local guru, or this or that, how can they help if they are also bondage? You have to have somebody who is beyond the three modes. So you may say, so you mean to say your guru is beyond the three modes? Prabhupada was asked that, you know, are you sort of, what do you mean by spiritual? Prabhupada said, look, our understanding is anything which is used in Krishna's service is 100% spiritual. A copper wire which is connected to a source of electricity. So there is electric connection somewhere. You check it, you get a shock. Then you put a 10 feet long copper wire. And you may say, this is copper. I still insist this is copper. Touch it. It's not copper, it's electricity now. It is copper, but it gives a feeling of being completely electrified because of its connection. Because of its connection. So similarly, the guru is not Krishna. Prabhupada didn't show universal form. Prabhupada didn't show forearms, or Prabhupada didn't show a halo around his neck or his face. There is no need for cheap tricks. In fact, if a guru shows something and an idiot disciple understands it, that's a guarantee that it is not spiritual. Yes. How can it be? So, then Babaji gives the correct understanding. He says, mundane logic plus rationalization. Listen carefully. Your mundane logic. How can Krishna be God? He can't be God because he's not so big. Or how can, what is exactly what is spiritual? You have to understand from the Guru Parampara itself. So he says, with mundane logic and rationalization, doubts cloud the mind. One of my favorite books is a Christian tale called Pilgrim's Progress. And there is a doubting castle there. So what has happened is, what exactly is a doubt? A person puts a lock on his prison cell. Prison cell, bars. He puts a lock and throws the key out in the ocean. And he says, I can't come out. Please help me, I can't come out. Obviously you can't. It's easy to lock yourself. Throw the key outside. And now, you want somebody to rescue you. How can? So our doubts many times are self-made. Etan me samshayasya chetta na upapadyate. Krishna, I don't see anybody without you who can actually cut down these doubts. Doubts, Arjuna compares them to demons. Samshayatma vinashyati. This is a thread coming from this. All those who feel this material world is a pleasure place, they actually get some illusory pleasure. But those who doubt about this world, also doubt about that world, don't get pleasure anywhere. Yeah. If you feel cricket is a waste of time, so you can't enjoy the thing happening there. But if you are convinced that they are Indians, they are representing India, and 1 billion hearts beat for those men in the blue, so let us cheer them. Although few days ago the BCCI said, we don't represent the country, we are a private club, and we have nothing to do with this India, whatever. We all work for our pockets, which are very deep, nicely lined out. So you have to shut off your intelligence. If you think too much, you can't enjoy the game. So those people who become total ignoramuses, that no, they actually did something for the glorification of India. Look, this man, I mean, he was a fixer, but at least look at the sixers he hit. Illusion helps. Knowledge actually spoils your enjoyment. Now, I'm not saying you choose which one, but this is the reality outside. So, samshayatma vinashyati. Those who think the economy is doing great, they will have their own sort of happiness. And those who know what's going on, they are horrified. So, samshayatma vinashyati. So, this samshay on the economy, or samshay on whether the Indian cricket team is doing well or not, these are all mini things. Doubt whether Krishna is God. Doubt whether if I dovetail my life in Krishna's service, will I be happy? This is the big doubt. And Babaji Maharaj says, so because of these things, gross dimensions are interpolated upon Shuddha Sattva. Shuddha Sattva is Krishna. Krishna is not even Sattva Guna. He is beyond Sattva Guna. Shuddha Sattva means that Sattva which is never polluted by Rajas and Tamas. The lower two can never attack the number one. When they can, it is mundane Sattva. When they cannot, it is pure Sattva. So, when you think about Krishna in gross terms, Babaji Maharaj paints a very bleak picture. A material picture emerges about Krishna and his pastimes and Vrindavan and Dwarka and everything. This material picture made by our material intelligence has only one escape route. We close down everything else, all doors are closed. And we say, alright, I cannot accept Krishna's marriage and Krishna's stealing and Krishna's churning of butter for him, and all that seems to be like allegories or imaginary stories. But I want spiritual reality. But when you do these mistakes of putting Shuddha Sattva, gross things on Shuddha Sattva, and then you open that door, and the only thing available there is a Brahman monistic idea. Actually, I had this one twist in my mind. Why people readily accept impersonalism? Why? In fact, impersonalism seems to be the default setting for anything. Take any Indian philosophy book and what is the default setting? You have your players or gadgets. They say reset. Reset means it all goes back to the factory setting. loudness, bass, treble, whatever. So, conditioned soul, wandering in his material world, and when he wants a default setting for his spirituality, God is impersonal. It's there. We can see the person, we can see the personal idea of God. That means impersonal means has to be beyond this. Anybody can see, so it must not be spiritual. But therefore, sevon mukhehi jivvado. We have to begin our service. So Narad Muni, seeing Krishna, I'm not going to go through all the details as to what he saw, but all those of us who read Bhagavatam, what Krishna was doing was pretty ordinary. Getting his daughters married. Getting his sons married. So in one palace, Krishna is seeing his daughter off. And he's like teary-eyed like any father would be. In one place he's getting his son married. So he's all beaming smile, welcoming the daughter-in-law. Somewhere he's playing chess. Somewhere he's discussing big, deep, thinking about some war plans. Somewhere, like in today's verse, he's saying, he was discussing with Lord Balram about the welfare of others. Vigraha. Vigraha means the deity, but another meaning of the word vigraha is fight or a war. Sandhi. Sandhya means to join. Those times of the day when things are joined is called Trisandhya. Yashas Trisandhyam. Sandhi. Joints. Sandhivat. Joint pain. So sandhi is that joint. Now it clicks. So we need mundane examples to understand spiritual truths. So, he is making peace somewhere. What does all this show? He is enjoying like a king. He is enjoying life. And the thing is, every palace, now I just read which book? Maybe it is Shivaram Maharaj's book on Krishna Leela. I forget which one. But Dwarka is big. Of course, today's Dwarka, there will be no comparison. But the original Dwarka, when it was fully manifest, had one quarter, in a sense, one particular area, where all these palaces were located. Just like when the British came, they chose these spots for Raj Bhavan, Malabar Hill area, correct? So that's what everybody does. They choose this. Of course, Dwarka is all choice spots, but within that, one particular area was only 16,000 palaces. 16,100 palaces. So Narada Muni goes to one palace, sees Krishna doing something, Krishna offers him some respect, he comes out, he goes to another palace, and there Krishna is like, oh ho, Devarshi, welcome, welcome, welcome. So he's like, just a few moments ago you welcomed me in that palace. So Krishna, and not like Krishna is doing some drama or something. How this is possible? And Narada Muni, the more he goes to all these palaces, in his mind he is satisfied like anything, seeing Krishna Leela. We'll end with this one thing. When Krishna is stealing butter, does he know it actually belongs to me? Aham sarvasya prabhavu bhoktaram yagya tapasam. See, he can't forget anything, so he has to remember. Now, actors who have performed a very famous play like Hamlet or As You Like It or any Indian very famous play, like some plays go for 1600 or 1400 shows. For those actors, it's like pretty much mundane. They know the lines by heart. They know when to shout, when to lower down their tone, when to get killed, when to get shot. It's like, I know. It's like, with films it is different. You shoot only once and that's it. But if an actor has to show that, oh, my mother is dead, and he has to cry every time. And many times it's a happy day, but the show has to go on, so he has to cry. So they put some glycerin here. So at that right moment, you know, some tears come out. The show goes on. Inside they know fully well what's going to happen. Does something happen with Krishna like that? does he know? Now this is all Leela. When you and me come before him, does Krishna know exactly what's our problem? 100%. Does he know whether we are going to accept the solution or not? 100%. So we'll cut out our portion. We'll not discuss ourselves. But with his pure devotees, the acharyas explain, two things happen. Mugdhasya and Sarvagya. Mugdha means this vidambanam, bewildered. So there are potencies of Krishna, Krishna's own Shakti, Leela Shakti's expansions, who make Krishna sort of act as if he doesn't know. So when he's a baby, that Leela Shakti tells him, like a baby, behave like a baby. Again, I am trying to use my mundane intelligence and you are trying to use yours to understand. So, that same example applies here. But we are trying to appreciate Krishna, hopefully. So that Mugdhasya makes Krishna completely, oh, I am like a coward boy. Oh, therefore, I have to play the flute. Oh, therefore, I have to enjoy like this. At the back of that, the Sarvagyata is always there. So Krishna, whenever he wants, he can get the help of any one of those. And so many Leelas, the same thing happens again and again and again. Krishna covers the intelligence of his mother by showing her the universal form. And what does she say? I am under illusion that I am the queen of Vrindavan and he is my son and I should be offering him pranam. And Krishna says, hey, how did this go here? So he covers it up. The moment he covers it up, she's like, ah, he's my boy. And that's what the real, what is relative, what is important for you and me is when Arjuna sees the universal form, the Virat Roop. Some people want, God means the greatest. Huge horizontal form, huge vertical form, that means God. So Prabhupada says, this is Dr. Patel and Prabhupada are arguing on the Juhu beach. Go make him a dhoti for his Virat Roop. Imagine how many yards of cloth has to be needed. This garland team here, make a garland for the Virat Roop. You'll be foaming at the mouth to make just one garland. A cook for the Virat Roop. Horror of horrors. How much can you cook? So Virat Roop is not an easy thing. Although you may like something big, big, big as God. The big thing scared Arjuna like anything. A warrior of Arjuna's caliber who fought with Lord Shiva, who fought with Gandharvas, fought with everybody and defeated them. He is saying, my mind is healing. Who are you? You may say, you asked him. Why are you asking who are you? You asked Krishna to show your form and now you are saying, who are you? Which means total lack of cognizant ability. He can't even understand who are you, what's your mission, why have you come from? And Krishna says, time I am, the destroyer of everything. He says, oh, okay. He says, now, Hare Krishna, the PowerPoint show is over now. Enough. I don't want to see this. And I was amazed to read in Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada says, Krishna, Arjuna didn't like to see this godless form of divinity. Is God here? Where is godless here? God himself is doing that. But there is no juice. So Krishna says, happily I remove this. This is only meant for those who are having that kida. In Indian language. Those who have that worm in their brains and they are really like arrogant, obstinate, nah, God has to be big, big, big. Fine, here is a big one. See him. But you could be amazed. I am in an internet forum where you ask questions about Bhagavad Gita. So one person replied, actually no form was shown. It was all in Arjuna's mind that he saw everything. So I wrote an answer saying, Arjuna requested, Krishna showed, Arjuna said, take it away, the conversation went ahead. Where is the mind involved here? But because we have so less faith, how can somebody sitting in the chariot show that form? Previously it was, the form was shown and the chariot Krishna disappeared. Why? Because he is a sword, so he has to disappear. Either me or him. Either Virat Rup Bhoga ya main rahega. No, Prabhupada says, sitting right in the chariot, Krishna is saying, look at that. I'll give you the divine vision, look at that. So from Virat Rupas, Krishnas cannot come. But from one Krishna, millions of such Virat Rupas can come. So this is why, Mugdhasya, the love, of course we don't have love, we can only show some obedience. But this obedience is the foundation on which this love of Krishna, that edifice will be raised. That's our hope. Prabhupada promised, come regularly for Bhagavatam hearing, hear Krishna Katha, understand Krishna's pastimes in the authorized purports given by the Acharyas, and one day you'll get love of God. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna.